Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. There are many challenges running a political campaign in the midst of a pandemic, especially with a lockdown and stay-at-home order. Politicians and strategists must use some real ingenuity to get their message out. The old-fashioned door-knocking, kitchen-table conversations, and get-to-know-you parties are impossible. Besides these hurdles, both candidates have a short timeline. The nomination meeting is on June 5th. Here is my second interview with the other candidate running for the provincial Liberal nomination, Jeff Kosnick. I'm so pleased to have with me today Jeff Kosnick, the provincial Liberal candidate for Northumberland, Peterborough South. He's running for the nomination. Welcome to Consider This.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. And I'm very, very pleased to be with you today. Thank you.
What made you decide to seek the nomination for the Liberals in Northumberland, Peterborough South?
Well, that's a really good question. As you are probably aware, I had a very long life in education. 36 years, I worked for the Gortha Pine Ridge District School Board. I started off as a teacher. I ended my career as a principal. I was principal at CCI, and I loved every moment of being in education. For most of my life, I got up and I went to school. And there was never a day when I woke up and I didn't feel like going to work. I had thought about, you know, the possibility of running in for politics, you know, throughout my life, but there was really no way I could enter that until I finished with education. And once that chapter closed, and I retired, then I could think about some other things. And back in January, I got a number of phone calls from some very, very close friends who had suggested that maybe I should consider. And after many, many family meetings and discussions with friends, it seemed to be the next step. Generally speaking, I've tried to give back to my community for a long, long time, and in many different areas, from coaching to doing tons and tons of fundraising for hundreds of different causes. And I thought there's probably no better way to give back to my community than running for MPP, and that's what's sort of brought me to this moment now.
What qualifications do you have for this job?
Well, that is another good question. I think I have lots of experience. I have certainly leadership experience in many different aspects. I think I'm a very good collaborator. I think I can work with not just people within our community, but I think that I would be very good at working with municipal governments. You know, there are a lot of similarities between being a principal at a secondary school, and I think running for politics. And I was a principal for 21 years of my 36-year career in education. And I think that has really given me a lot of experience. And certainly with many of the fundraising projects that I've been a part of, I've had an opportunity to collaborate with many people. And I think that if one is going to get anything done, they need to be a leader, and they need to have experience, and they need to be able to collaborate with various groups. And I think that I certainly have.
For listeners who may not know what a high school principal does, can you draw the lines a little clearer between what you do as a high school principal and how that contributes to your political aspiration?
Well, I think being a high school principal, it's like managing a large ship. And I had the privilege of working at all of the high schools within my career along the lakeshore, from Port Hope all the way through to ENSS, Brighton, of course. And many times I was working at the largest schools within our board. We do lots and lots of things. You manage the school, you look after kids, you look after students, you work with parents, you work with staff. And somehow there's this delicate balance of bringing all of those groups together. And I always felt that if you had happy kids, then you probably had happy teachers, then you had happy parents, and then you could accomplish wonderful things. And I think, so some of the similarities are going to be managing, you know, the Northumberland, Peterborough, South communities. And I would also say that, you know, every school that I worked at was slightly different. And I think that all of our areas in Northumberland, Peterborough, South are certainly unique. The needs of Cobourg probably differ greatly from those of Brighton. And I think it is important that an MPP represents those smaller areas. So the areas like Norwood, the areas like maybe Newtonville, for instance, obviously Newcastle is growing leaps and bounds. But I think it is important that our leader represents the needs of all of our constituents. And that really is very similar to being a principal. You need to represent the needs of all students, all parents, and all staff.
In a campaign video you posted on social media, you talk about learning many lessons. What are some of those lessons, and can you be specific as to how they relate to your campaign?
Well, I think I was referring to the many lessons that we've learned during COVID. Obviously, I've learned many, many lessons in life, you know, from all of my rich experiences. But I think what you probably are referring to is the lessons we've learned through COVID. And I think the best example I can give you is if we were to take a look at long-term care, for instance. I think that we've learned many, many lessons about long-term care and care for our seniors. And I don't think that there's a politician that would have been ready to meet what COVID dropped on all of us. But having said that, I think that the lessons we should have learned from our long-term care facilities are out there. They're glaring. You know, obviously support for the essential workers in the long-term care facilities. I think that there are the respect we need to have for our PSWs. And really, apart from our seniors getting vaccinated, I see no concrete change. And I think those are the kinds of things. When something like this has happened to our society, when it's happened to our community, when it's happened to a specific group, I think it's important that we take stock of that and then we act upon it. And I think that's one area that's near to my heart, is that we can do much, much better in providing for our long-term care facilities and especially our seniors.
I can hear the voices of conservatives in the back of my head saying, but the Liberals created this system for years and years. They ran the long-term care system, and this was a system that was inherited by them. And they've been, you know, moving forward on building, even in our own community. We see new facilities, both at the Golden Plow and in downtown Cobourg. There's all kinds of things going on in terms of hiring and training more personal service workers. How can you be critical of their efforts because of the system that your party created in the past? I can hear them saying that. What would you say to them?
Well, I think we certainly have a we know that our demographics are such that we have more and more elderly people, particularly moving into the Northumberland, Peterborough South area. So in terms of you know, adding and onto facilities like the Golden Plow, that just naturally has to happen. So I think it's wonderful that we're adding on to that facility, but I still come back to the fundamental change. And I would argue that, you know, the privatization to a lot of the facilities, that could use some change as well. But whether or not it was the Conservatives that started this, or it was the Liberals that put some things into play, I think there's still lessons that we've learned, and we have to be able to move forward on those things.
Let's talk about something that is close to your heart, and that is education and educators. And in your campaign, you talk about having safe workplaces for educators and safe learning environments. What would you have done differently as compared to what has occurred over the last year or so?
Well, I think I would have really listened to the science, for one thing. I think that is incredibly important. I think that we certainly could have done a better job in ensuring that our staff and students were safe. I think that had to be a real priority. I think that it is really, really important that teachers and educators get the credit for the online and virtual learning, and it not the politicians. It's not the politicians that are going online every single day with students. It's teachers. And I think that we have to stand up at this point in time, and we have to recognize that our teachers are doing an excellent job. And I think we also have to recognize how difficult this time is for our students. The number of things that they have missed out on, graduations, all the co-curricular activities. And I think that we need to recognize those things and recognize the challenges that parents are having right now. And the other thing that I would say, Robert, is it seems that whenever a government comes into power, and particularly the Conservatives, there's always a talk on cuts to education. And wouldn't it be nice if this time we were able to make some substantial change that truly, truly benefited our students, and do something concrete, province-wide, that makes our education system truly stand out? Because I do believe in public education.
In your campaign, you advocate for an inclusive community. How would you go about this? How would you address things like racism and discrimination against people for sexual orientation, Indigenous people?
I think that comes down to education. And I think that we can do a better job of creating inclusive societies. And I think it starts with education. And I think that we can do much, much better, not just in our schools, but even, you know, educating parents and local businesses and things of that nature. But that's really where it comes down to, is it's just education. And it is so important. It is so important. And I would say that as a country, Canada is probably ahead of most countries in the world. But isn't that what makes us so unique, is that we are leading the charge on social justice issues and social change. And I think that we can continue to do those things.
You also mentioned in your campaign the minimum wage. And we've watched as grocery stores have made record profits, and some have paid workers a temporary bonus for working during the pandemic, and then it was taken away, and then a few reinstated it. The mere mention of raising minimum wage gets small business owners crazy. What are you proposing to say to these business people that is going to change their minds that they would support an increase in the minimum wage?
Well, and I certainly understand the difficulty if you're running a small business in increasing the minimum wage. But I think it's something that we just absolutely have to do. I talk a lot about respect for our frontline and essential workers. And I think we have to look at defining what essential work is. But for me, I look at those working, for instance, you mentioned the grocery store. They have kept our province and our communities running. And they are in there day after day, and they are working. And thankfully, we have that. But most that are working in that field are making minimum wages. And I think that, again, it comes back to, if you're working for minimum wage, and often you have no benefits, often you are working 4-hour shifts instead of 8-hour shifts. So you're going in at different times. Many of our essential workers have 2 and 3 jobs. And to me, that's not right. And so while it would be a struggle for some of our small businesses, I think we all have to recognize that how do you survive with a minimum wage in today's society? And again, I think that's where we need to take a good hard look and have those conversations and collaborate with one another and find ways that allow people to make a decent living. And I think it can be done. And it will be tough. It will be a tough thing, but certainly everyone that I speak with agrees that you can't survive these days making $14 an hour or less.
Who is your political hero?
Well, I think for me that is a very easy question. And my political hero would be Nelson Mandela. No one suffered as much as he did. And yet he was able to come back, become the leader of a country, bring that country together, somehow that man was able to forget, and I use that word loosely, all of the things that happened to him, and use those experiences, which were so terrible, to help him create peace. And I just find that is remarkable for any human being to do what he did is simply remarkable. So there's no question he would be my political hero.
Give me one thing you disagree with the way that our current MPP, David Piccini, has handled.
Well, to be honest, Robert, I don't want to use this time at this particular, like right now, to criticize David. To be perfectly honest, I've met Mr. Piccini a number of times. He seems like a fine individual. I just believe that the real difference between Mr. Piccini and myself is we differ on a number of issues, such as education, such as healthcare, such as long-term care. Those are issues we just disagree upon. So I think rather than me at this particular time just running for the nomination, I don't want to get into the of putting down because I'm not there yet. Step one is for me to win the nomination. But I just think that the differences between the liberals and the conservatives are huge, and obviously I side with the issues of the Liberal Party, not the Conservative Party.
In a time when we see very deep political divides, I wonder if you could give me one thing you think he has done really well.
That Mr. Pacini has done really well, or?
Yeah, Mr. Pacini.
I think that Mr. Pacini has certainly, I think he's worked fairly hard. I think that I could work a little harder, but I think that he has worked fairly hard. But I think he's really tried to work hard in a lot of the bigger areas. And I think that I could do a little bit better than that. But I don't know. You talk about that political divide, and I know that we're probably similar in age. I can remember, and I grew up in Oshawa, of course, but I can remember a time when, if I looked down our small little street that we lived on, we would see an orange sign, and we would see a red sign, and we would see a blue sign, and yet we were all neighbors. And we never, there wasn't that hate for one another, just because they had different beliefs. And somehow it seems that we've got to this place where that happens. And it's funny, because once the election signs came down, or even when the election signs were up, we still talked to our neighbors. We were still friendly. And I don't know exactly all of the reasons that have led us to this point where we have such a divide. And I think that the one of the things that I would really try to address is breaking down that stigma of, you know, the liberals can't have conservative friends, because I do. I have lots of friends that have different political views, and that should be okay.
How do you do that, though? How do you plan to do that?
Well, I think it has to start with not saying terrible things about one another. I really believe that we have to get it away from that. And I think that comes to that whole social change of, you know, we've got this society of hate. And I think that we just have to, that's something that we have to work on. And we've seen it grow in a huge, huge way with our friends south of the border. And I think everyone south of the border recognizes that. But I think those are issues that we can address. And again, through education and maybe I am very naive this early into my political career by stating that we can't attack, you know, the opposition, but that's certainly how I feel.
Jeff Kosnick, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate the time you've given up, and thank you for doing all the research. You've obviously read up on all of the things that I've been putting out, so I really appreciate you doing all the homework. No pun intended there, Robert. But it's been nice chatting with you.
That was Jeff Kosnick, candidate for the nomination for the Provincial Liberals in Northumberland, Peterborough South. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.